I'll offer you this gift too this morning. It's my prayer for you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And I've got a verse I don't think I've ever used for Christmas before, but here's the verse. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Is that a great verse for Christmas? Repeat after me. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
For his indescribable gift.
For his indescribable gift.
Okay, that was pretty good, but that reminds me of like when I was a kid and somebody would give you something and your parents had to kind of give you an elbow in the, like, what do you say type of thing, and you go, oh, thank you. It was kind of like that, so let's try that again. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
For his indescribable gift.
For his indescribable gift.
Okay, have you ever gotten a gift that you thought was truly awesome? Okay, a lot of you can think of this. I'm thinking of stuff that's on the order of the official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle. That's the kind of gift I'm thinking about. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them about the most awesome gift you've ever gotten. And if you haven't gotten one, maybe it's the gift you want to get that's the most awesome, okay? And if you're sitting by yourself, include someone in your conversation. The most awesome gift you ever got.
Sat there and did little tiny plastic bead necklaces. What was your favorite?
Oh, wow. How old?
12.
Did you go backwards?
Oh, good.
You didn't chew your eye out.
What's your best? Oh, you already told me yours.
Okay, it sounds like some of you have gotten some pretty awesome gifts. All right. I'll chat with you later, and you can tell me what your most awesome gift was. I got a pretty awesome gift. I scored already this year. I've gotten 7 pairs of socks so far. So I'm like, in. This is awesome. We've been using a little tool to help us this Christmas season, and we've called it the Adoroscope. It was introduced in a children's sermon quite a few weeks ago, and then every week we've been kind of trying to remind ourselves about our goal, our aim for this season, was to try to focus. And we use this Adoroscope, which is, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's rolled up paper. Okay? But what it does is it narrows your field of vision. So when you're looking through this, all the stuff out here is, you can't see it. But what I see is this one small spot. And I can use this Adoroscope to focus. I should keep this handy because there's times in the middle of a sermon when I want to like check on somebody and make sure they're with me. But the goal was to help us like focus at Christmas and not be distracted. Because so much of all the extra stuff that happens at Christmas time can be so distracting. We end up running crazy, and we maybe miss the real reason for Christmas. We lose our focus. So our point for all of these messages that we've strung together for Advent was, how can we adore Jesus and not lose sight of him during this Christmas season? So we pulled out our Adoroscopes each week, and we looked at a different name of Christ. So we looked at Jesus the King, the one who comes to like reign and rule with justice and righteousness and peace. And we focused on that. We looked at Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, so that no matter what happens in our lives, we know that God is still with us. He never leaves us. We looked at Jesus, the anointed one, the one who's called by God, who's called to come fix things that are broken in this world. We looked at Jesus, the Savior, the one who comes to save us from our sins. These all were all things that we did to try to focus, and we did this by narrowing in on just who Jesus is. Today, I'd like to kind of like blow our focus a little wider, like open it up, and say, what if we looked out, and we looked up, and we looked around in the world? Would we see something that would help us recognize this indescribable gift and give thanks to God for it? So that's what I want to try to do in the next few minutes. So the next question I have is, what are things that you see in the world that cause you to have awe? Things that you see around you and you go, wow, that's amazing. Like maybe it's the mountains or sunsets or maybe an infant baby or the delicacies of a butterfly wing or intricacies of like a snowflake. These are things that we look at when we look out in the world and we say, wow, that is awesome. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to just share something that you see in this world that makes you go, that's awesome. Go ahead and share that right now.
I love sunsets. That's a picture of the lake.
Okay, some of you are rattling off a whole big list of things. That's great. There's a lot of stuff that we see in the world that just stirs up awe in us. We go, that's amazing. As far as sheer unadulterated adorability goes, for me, you can't top like a little baby. I mean, you see, and did some of you see some of them last night with their little like outfits on, their little dresses, their little like red dresses with little white fringe like Santa Claus dressed like miniature. There was a couple just absolutely adorable babies last night. That works for me, but I also like sunflowers. They create awe in me. I'm fascinated by the way the seeds form patterns in sunflowers, if you've ever looked at that. I think that's awesome. I also love hiking in the mountains. When I'm up in the mountains, that is awesome, and I actually feel closer to God when I'm up there. I also love sunsets. Actually, sunsets a lot better than sunrises for some reason. I like goldfish, both the kind that swim in my pond at home and the kind I eat. Those create awe in me. I love to watch water dripping in pools where it makes the little rings and they go out. That creates awe in me. In fact, if you want to know the truth, I sometimes feel like a little bit of a freak because just about everywhere I look, I see stuff that makes me think that's awesome. I kind of go through my day like this, like, oh, wow, that's awesome. Isn't that cool? And then I see, oh, look at that. That's awesome. There's so much that causes that response in me and stirs that up in me. I came to this description a few weeks ago in a blog that I read, and the title of this blog was just simply awe. And I thought he had some really cool things to say about that. So I wanted to share this. This is from a guy named Frederick Buechner. I remember seeing a forest of giant redwoods for the first time. There were some small children nearby giggling and chattering and pushing each other around. Nobody had to tell them to quiet down as we entered. They quieted down all by themselves. Everybody did. You couldn't hear a sound of any kind. It was like coming into a vast empty room. 200 or 300 feet high, the redwoods stood. You had to crane your neck as far back as you could to see the leaves at the top. The trees made their own twilight out of the bright California day. There was a stillness and a stateliness about them that seemed to become part of you as you stood there, stunned by the sight of them. They had been growing in this place for 2,000 years. With infinite care, they were growing even now. You could feel them doing it. They made you realize that all of your life you had been mistaken. Oaks and ashes, maples and chestnuts and elms you had seen for as long as you could remember, but never until this moment had you so much as dreamed what a tree really was. When something is truly awesome, it changes the way you look at everything. That's what awe does. It reshapes our entire world. And awe is a gift. I wrestled with even trying to describe it to you. I might say it's an indescribable gift. And I'm most likely to have a moment of awe when I catch a glimpse of Jesus. When I see who he really is, I don't know what to say. Even the Apostle Paul, who was not a guy who usually ran out of words, finally comes to this conclusion when he looks at Jesus. Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift. That's all he has to say, because it's so awesome. God's ability to make awesome things is, I think, a gift too, and probably unlimited. One of the things that I like to do is look up on a clear night, especially if you're away from the city and you've got less light, you can see the stars, and it's amazing. You can't even count them all. You can't even see them all. Does anybody here know how many stars they say there are? How many?
1,000.
There's more than 1,000. They say that there's 70,000 million stars. That's 70,000 with 18 more zeros after it. They say that there are 10 times more stars than all the grains of sand from all the beaches and all the deserts on the planet. That's awesome. Some experts who like describe God and his greatness looked up into the sky to try to come up with descriptions. Here's one of them, Psalm 33:6. God breathed the world and all the stars were born. God breathed the stars. 70,000 million, million, million. That's a big God. That's awesome. The heavens declare the glory of God, pouring forth speech. And then the psalmist, who was coming up with these awesome descriptions of God and his vastness, got to thinking about this awesomeness and asked the question, well, then who are we that God should be mindful of us? The God who could breathe 70,000 million, million stars. Who are we? Some people look to outer space to try to answer the question about who we are. Are you familiar with the Voyager? Not the TV show, the spaceship? Apparently, this object has the distinction of being the man-made object that has traveled the farthest of anything that we've ever made. And when this Voyager had trekked more than 4 billion miles, right before it was going to leave our galaxy, it turned around and took a picture of us. And it sent it to us. And so then the scientists began to study this picture that the Voyager took, and it seemed kind of inconsequential at first. It was mostly black, but there was kind of stars, and they studied it until they finally found something interesting in the background. They found this faint little blue pinpoint, and they just concluded that was us. That Voyager captured a picture of the Earth, and unless you knew what you were looking for, you couldn't even see it. This is a vast photograph that they took, and I don't understand all this. Maybe some of you do. But it said that the size of this little blue pinpoint was 12/100 of a single pixel on this vast picture. And you can't even really see it unless you know it's there. That's us. Which inspired Carl Sagan. Do you know that name? He was like an astronomer, famous astrophysicist, guest. He was deeply moved by this photograph. And this is what he said in conclusion. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. Kind of a bummer. In our obscurity, he says, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. That was his conclusion. And if you look at just this picture, you might draw the same conclusion. It doesn't look like in all this vastness there's anything out there that's going to ever save us from ourselves. Not a hint. No visible sign of saving. But what if the God who breathes stars into existence decided to intervene? What if he decided that something on this little blue pinpoint in outer space was worth saving? And what if he decided to send someone to do something about that? Wouldn't that be awesome? That's the kind of thing that creates such awe in me, that idea. I don't even know how to describe it. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gifts. The God who formed and delivered the heavens waited patiently as an embryo in a womb so that he could intervene and save us from ourselves. The God who breathed stars breathed in the air that was in a musty old stable. The God who cradles whole galaxies in the palm of his hand, whom the highest heavens cannot contain, this vast God, puts himself in a skin, the skin of a little baby. He contains himself. And then he lives on this tiny blue speck pinpoint of a planet, and he does it because we needed saving. Isn't that awesome? So my reaction to all this is thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, because out of the dark and the black that is this whole universe, in a land that sometimes is nothing more than a shadow of darkness itself, a light has dawned and God has come. a king, the anointed one, God with us, a savior. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. God, we bow before you this morning and we give you thanks that we can come together in this place and be reminded once again of this incredible gift. A gift beyond words, a gift that stirs up awe and adoration within each of us. And our response is simply to say, thank you. And God, I thank you for other lesser gifts, but still gifts that we celebrate, the gift of blessings, of the gift of being able together with our families, the gift of joy, the gift of laughter, the gift of music. So many good gifts that you've given to us, and we appreciate all of them. And we thank you that we can celebrate that on a day like today. And I thank you for these good people, for their coming out today to celebrate with us, and ask that your hand of blessing would continue to guide us throughout this Christmas season, and we'll be careful to give you all the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.